Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 123 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. What's shaking?
What's shaking? Not much. We are about to answer some listener quandaries. So if you listened last week, hopefully you did, we took three listener questions and offered our advice on their parenting and motherhood questions. And so we like to do these in a batch and just take a whole bunch and do it over two episodes. So this is a continuation. You can always go back and listen to that one if you missed it. But we do have three more listener questions that were sent in either via email or by wonderful listeners recording their voice and sending it in. We also have one international listener, which is always so fun to hear from. So, and at the very end of this episode, you'll also hear one of the segments that I do at least once a month with Katie Addis. So stay on the line or keep listening after we close out and you'll hear that fun segment as well. So I know everybody loves Katie, and I do too. Yeah. Okay, so we have a fun sponsor up first, and that is Studio, not Studio, as my autocorrect likes to try and make it all the time, but Studio makes...
As in Phil Collins.
Yes, Studio.
Studio.
Which I read on their website is actually how they named their product. So,
oh, really?
Huh. Yes.
That's what I think of every time I look at them.
But... Well, that is correct. My computer okay. wants to change it to Studio every darn time, and they make Bluetooth headphones, Bluetooth earbuds and headphones that are... amazing. So if you're listening to a podcast, you probably like great sound quality. And these are amazing Bluetooth headphones. So we got to try some. Which ones did you get, Megan?
I got the Vasa Blah, and okay. I got them in blue, like the bright blue. They're so pretty. So first of all, we have to talk about the unboxing experience of getting these. I was
totally.
Like, what is going on? It's super high-end packaging. I mean, it's beautiful.
It's a Swedish company, so maybe that helps paint the picture. It's gorgeous design.
Very scaled back. And then, I don't know, if you've never had Bluetooth or wireless headphones before, your life is about to change.
Yes, seriously.
It's really hard to go back after that. But these ones are particularly nice because they don't have they're super streamlined. It's not like the bulky collar thing. You don't feel them hanging around your neck. It's a strap. And then they fit right in your ears. And you can, once they're on, you barely even know there's anything on your head at all. It's pretty incredible.
It's really incredible. And you can be, I know the complaint of some Bluetooth headphones is that you have to still be pretty close to your device, your phone, which in some cases kind of defeats the purpose. I mean, I know it's also nice not to have the wire, but these, I will dock my phone in the kitchen and then put these headphones in and do dishes. And I want to say I'm 8 feet probably away from my phone with zero signal interruption or anything. So fantastic Bluetooth technology. Like you said, they fit in perfectly. I have freakishly small ears. So I always need, I always need the smallest. They give you the little different sizes of the little ear covers to put in. Yeah. And they, I've even started jogging recently, which is like another story altogether. And they stay in my ears perfectly, even when I'm running slowly. Everything you just said, gorgeous design, amazing sound quality into your ears. I don't think I could ever go back. I had not had Bluetooth headphones before, earbuds before these, but I could never go back. I can't imagine going back.
I mean, for me, it's like if I'm at the gym and I'm on a machine doing on the elliptical, and then I want to jump off and do some weights or something, to not have to carry something with me.
Yeah.
You know, a few feet away it just really makes the experience so much better. Or like if you're on a walk and you want to have your phone like in your pocket.
Yep, exactly.
Because you've got a jacket on.
Yep.
Well, I mean, if you've got wired earbuds, it's not probably going to work to have a wire kind of coming out of your pocket in your ears. It might not be long enough. So yes, it gives you a lot of flexibility.
It does. I have to say, the history of me finding out about Studio is I heard them advertise on another podcast and bought them for Brian last year because he tends to be more tech forward. He works out more than I do. So I was like, these would be perfect for him. And then I got really jealous and I was like, we need to find a way to partner with Studio. And we did. So they do make a great gift, though. They have beautiful, we're talking not the free earbuds that come with your phone. So they retail about, some are about $79 and then on up, depending on the different model. And we have have a 15% off discount off the entire site with coupon code The Mom Hour. And they're also doing some great awareness for October for breast cancer awareness. So if you, they have a really cool pink design, I just noticed. So if you happen to be on their site this month when you're listening to this, they are donating 10% of all their profits from the pink products to the Swedish Breast Cancer Foundation. So definitely check them out. It's studiosweden.com. And we will link that up in the show notes. And we love them. So, all right. First question.
Let's do it.
Are we ready? This came
I think
from
I'm ready.
Michelle in New Zealand.
No.
Right? I mean,
I want people from New Zealand to call in, though, because I want to hear their accents.
Okay, that is a challenge. I know we have international listeners. I know, because I email with them. We have them in South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Wales, the UK.
All over
and
the place.
They email us and they interact with us on social media. But so far, I do not think we have received a voice message from anyone with an accent.
We need that to happen.
Yeah, we really
need to. Just call us. We just want to hear your
voice. Just call us. But Michelle has a great question. And it's something we actually did an episode about, but it was so long ago that I just think it's, we have so many new listeners, it's worth talking about again. So I'll read it. She says, "Hi, I'm from Auckland, New Zealand. I'm a huge fan of your show. Listen to every episode and love you, ladies. I was hoping you might do an episode on pocket money in the future," which is like allowances, right? I'm pretty sure that's Brit speak or English for allowances. So pocket money. I have a 5 and 7 year old boy and been wondering how to implement a pocket money system for ages now and would love to know what you both do, especially around aspects such as whether the money is linked to chores, which is that's always the big question, or whether they are just expected to do chores because they're part of the family and everyone needs to contribute. So this is always like the big question, allowances and paying for chores, which I always think it's sort of two conversations, but they have to overlap a little bit.
You
kind of have
to
address.
Yeah.
So do you want to just give an update? It was episode 15. I'll link it up. Yeah. We did do a whole show, but it's worth updating because it's been a long time. So what's this looking like in your family?
This is something that is in constant flux in my house. Right now, I would say I have kind of fallen. Our family structure has changed. I've sort of fallen into a different way of doing things than I had been, which was, I believe when we recorded that episode, I want to say I was paying kids $1 per year. So if like an 8-year-old would get $8
a week,
you know, a week.
Okay.
But the problem is, I mean, that works really well when they're little. I mean, it works really well to hand a 5-year-old $5 especially if they're, you know, contributing a lot and you can afford that and it's in your budget. It became less, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, sustainable when their needs got bigger and their years weren't keeping up pace, you know? So like a 13-year-old probably needs more than $13 of pocket money, depending on how much of life you have them cover for themselves. Like
exactly.
If they go to the movies, are they paying for it themselves?
Right.
And that's stuff that you have to kind of think about. And I think it's okay for your systems to change.
Yes.
And for like Clara, $8 a week is kind of overkill because she really doesn't spend any money. Everything she does is with me and like I pay for stuff when I take her out. So I think I just kind of found that worked really, really well when like everyone was under 10 years old and suddenly I felt like I was just paying a bunch of money out every week and it didn't make sense anymore. So we shelved that. Now the kids don't really get allowances. What they do is they have their chores that they do and everybody has to do their chores. Like they all have pet chores that they do. William is in charge of the laundry right now. Isaac always does recycling. Owen does a bunch of the pet care. Clara does some of the pet care and some other things. And that's just what they do. That's just because they belong to our family and they have to contribute. On top of that, I also offer opportunities to make a little more money on more of a sporadic basis, but I would say they have an opportunity pretty much every weekend to make 10 or 15 or $20, sometimes more for the older kids.
And do they, I'm just going to interrupt. Do they come to you motivated for that? Like, hey, I need some money. What can
some
I do?
Or do
you go to them and say, I need this done, but I'll pay you. Okay.
Some come to me and some don't. Like Owen always wants money. He is like a little miser and he wants to earn. Will wants money when he needs money, but he doesn't care about like stat. He doesn't care about stockpiling money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jacob never cared about money. It was really fascinating to me when Jacob was younger, how he could never have any money. Like it was fine with him. If he didn't want to do chores or whatever the chore was that I was going to pay him for, he would just not do anything. Like, he didn't do anything. He would rather have complete control over his life, I think.
Yeah.
And if doing whatever extra chore was that I asked him to do wasn't on his agenda, then, you know,
he could go without.
He just went without. Whereas other kids, like Isaac and Owen in particular, much more concerned about constantly having an influx of cash. So I think it really depends on the kid and their motivation level, how motivated by money they are.
Right.
And I think some kids are like, William is just motivated by doing what I ask him to do. He's like good old reliable William, and he's just motivated by pleasing us or being that kid, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and Claire is kind of a mix of the two right now. She wants money, but she doesn't really spend it. So she just kind of, she has like a little purse, and it's growing in there, and she'll get it. She likes the idea of also getting money because the older kids do constantly. And she, for a while, was kind of jealous that she wasn't getting bigger jobs that paid well, even though she doesn't need the money. So I think it's all over the place. What about you? What are you doing these days?
Yeah. So it's so helpful to hear how it works in your house, even for me. And I know you and I know your family, but it's just really helpful. So my kids are 9, 7, and 4.5, almost 5. And we do not do a weekly allowance. And it's not that I'm opposed to it. It's that I have just never really wanted to be the one managing all of those details. And we have found other ways to have them make, earn, save money, learn about money that have not involved a weekly allowance. So I'm not saying that's the right way to go. I'm just being honest that, like, we've gotten along without it so far. And like you said, Megan, our kids, when we're out and about, we pay for stuff. We don't give in to their every whim, but, you know, we're paying for it. When we go out to a movie as a family, we're paying for it. They're young enough that they don't need the spending cash except for Pokemon cards and things they want to buy. So a couple of ways that, oh, and then paying for chores. I'll just answer that real quick, and then I have a couple other thoughts. But we're similar. I will pay per chore, but they have to be things that really help me, number one. So, like, here's what happens in my house. A kid will come to me and say, I really want this pack of Pokemon cards. Can I earn some money toward it? And my first question to myself and to them is always, are they pulling their weight in general? And are they up to date on things like keeping their room relatively clean? Right. Are they clearing their plate? I'm not going to pay a kid to do a chore if that kid is not, just in general, contributing. So often I'll say,
it's kind of like extra credit.
It's extra credit.
They only get it if they did everything else.
Exactly. And I do have kids who will want to go right to earning money, and they haven't, you know, maybe practiced piano that weekend or whatever it is. I'm not a chore chart person, but we're in constant discussion about, okay, especially on the weekends, we're like, I will actually make them each a little to-do list on the weekend. Here's what you need to do. Everything from picking up your room to practicing piano to, you know, making sure your backpack's cleaned out from the week, whatever. Those aren't really chores. They're just things that need to get done. And I'm not going to pay you for something if those things aren't done. So that's one thing. And then I will pay them. I tend to find really small jobs because they're young and they don't need a lot of money. So I will pay for something, especially if it's something I've been putting off. I will pay for, I always have a ton of linens, like dish towels and cloth napkins, because we use cloth napkins that need folding, and I never fold them. I just keep them in a clean laundry basket and use them out of there. So I have like had a kid fold the entire laundry basket of clean dish towels and washcloths and napkins. And that's a great little kid job because they can do it, but it also is kind of a lot of work, and it's nice for me. I reap the benefits. So I'm kind of stingy. I don't want to pay for chores that don't actually make my life better.
I totally agree.
I do pay, but it's with that in mind. A couple other ways that we've just had money education and money learning happen without an allowance is, so I made Brian read this book called The Opposite of Spoiled. So Brian is a personal financial planner as his profession. He works with people who are of retirement age and who have come into a lot of money, don't know what to do with it. A lot of them have terrible habits around money and have gotten into all kinds of trouble over time. So Brian's really, I mean, he has a really good context for why this is important. And so there's a book called The Opposite of Spoiled that I'll link to in the show notes by Ron Lieber. And it came so highly recommended by other parenting writers that I love that I just delegated it to him to read. And he came up with a save, spend, give system with the kids. And he does it with them. This would not be something that I would have the bandwidth in my brain to manage, but they have little boxes and he keeps a little ledger, and we do match anything that they want to give. So like Allegra wants to give to the rescue mission she's already talking about for Thanksgiving time, for people who don't have enough money to eat. And, so they have a little section where they can put stuff in to give to charity, and we will match that. They have a save section where there's some basic interest that grows with it. So I say this with a caveat that like it's too complicated for me, but it works for Brian because it's important to him and he's taken it over and he manages that with them. So that's worked really well, especially for if they get a lot of birthday money. That tends to be where they get their money, is they'll get some generous birthday gifts. And then now there's a system where I think 10% of it has to go into save, and then the give is optional to them, but we will match it. So they don't have to give, but we will match whatever they give. So I'll link to that book. And if you want to get more systematic, that has worked well for us. That's not really about chores. It's more about sort of teaching that whole saving, spending, giving. Right. And just like you said, Megan, they're so different. I mean, one clears out the spent, whatever's available in the spend section gets spent. It's like Reed will invent a place to go so he can go spend $4 and then be down to zero. And Allegra saves more, which is interesting. So,
well, and I think, you know, one thing I want to mention, two things. I love that we both kind of admitted to being too lazy to do allowances, because that's really kind of what it comes down to, right? Yeah. I mean, I felt like I was just constantly having to go to the bank and get out the right denominations of cash and then have it on hand on Friday when they started coming around with their grubby little paws out. And I also felt like that system was rife for being abused. Yeah. So I'd have like literally some kids would come to me with their hands out. Owen would come to me and just be like, where's my money? And then it would take like for me to actually do the mental gymnastics to figure out if he did all the things he needed to do to earn that allowance was just too much. And I knew I was like letting it slip sometimes with him because he was so persistent. And I'd be like, OK, well, just make sure you get to it later, because I just want to give you this money before I spend it.
On your inability to remember, like they will.
Absolutely. Like- yep. Yes. And it's never fair to the kids who are less money driven, because they don't really care that much. And they'll be sometimes more honest about what they got done. So yes, I bowed out of traditional allowances for many reasons, but one of them is just I couldn't hack it anymore. But I also love that you said the kids are so different thing. I think it's really important that we realize that we can help kids make the most of their particular money personalities, but no amount of education that we do is going to change the way they relate to money entirely. Right. Like, some kids are always going to be misers. Some kids are always going to be more spendthrift. Like, the best we can do is help them figure out a system that works for them, and not try to like expect that because we start talking about it early, suddenly they're going to, they're going to become penny pinchers if they're not, or whatever it is. Like, they are their own people, and that relates to everything, including how they spend. And I think there's ways for people who are a little less organized or maybe a little looser with their cash to kind of almost like workarounds or like little tricks. For me, like, I'm someone who would spend everything I have only because I kind of lose track, and I have magical thinking sometimes about money. I don't know, like more will come.
Yeah.
So for me, it makes more sense to be an active money manager in that I spend out to savings. Like, I don't, I want to do something with my money. If I don't do something with
it, you're not just going to leave it there. It won't just grow if you leave it there. It'll get spent.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So for me, it has to be a very active thing. Like, I'm taking this money and moving it into that place to be spent on that. And I do a lot of like really hands, like I'm in my budget daily, moving things around, checking in to see where I'm at. And that's how my mind works. And that's never not going to work that way. So I don't know. Just want to put that caveat.
And that is actually what's, I think, been really cool about this system that Brian implemented, and all the credit goes to him, is these are physical little boxes with three parts, and there is physical money in them, and he's the banker. He keeps it in his closet, and, you know, every so often they'll go to him, and they can see what's available to be spent, what's available, what they are saving. And the savings works like it has to stay in there for at least 6 months, but it grows with interest or something like that, and then the give. And so, it's tangible, and they can move it around, or they can see what's there. I wanted to offer another suggestion. If you feel like you don't want to do weekly allowance, but want to start kind of dabbling, I feel like anytime that you go on like either a family trip or a weekend or even just a fun excursion, I think it's really helpful for kids to have. We've even done it like at the farmer's market, like giving them each $5 at the farmer's market and just said, this is yours to spend today on whatever you want. And you will see kids, you'll see, like you said, these little personality things start to come out about the decisions that they make around money. Allegra takes forever to make decisions. It's actually really hard for her. Claire, so we've had to give her like more practice at that. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't do a weekly allowance, I think fun excursions, fun family outings or weekend trips or vacations are another great time to say you do have an allowance. You have it for today or for this vacation. And here's what it is. And here's what you can spend it on. And then you can kind of like dabble in that and let your kids experience that without having to commit to a pocket money system.
Right.
Yep. I just wanted to say pocket money again.
Pocket money.
I really want Michelle to call us and say pocket money. Well, that was good. I feel like that was a good recap. And it's episode 15 that we talked a lot about.
Yeah.
It's more about chores and delegation, but we got into this allowance stuff. So, okay. So should we listen to the next question?
Let's do it.
From Allison.
Hi, Megan and Sarah. Me and my husband have a 3-year-old son, and we always thought we wanted to have more than one child. We always planned to have two, but now that we're out of the baby stage and things are a lot easier and more fun, it's sort of difficult to make the choice to have another one and get back into diapers and sleep deprivation and all that goes into having a little baby. So just curious how you guys kind of psyched yourself up to get back into the baby stage. And if that was a tough decision for you. Thank you so much.
Well, Allison, I'll tell you one really easy way to psych yourself up for it is to just get pregnant without meaning to. And then you'll find you have very little choice and you've got 9 months to get ready. But I do hear you, because with the kids that of mine that were more planned, definitely there was that like, oh man, you know, we just got done with this. Like, we just got done with diapers, or they're just now sleeping through the night. That was for me probably with 4 and 5, was the one where I felt like I was going so far backward almost. Gosh, you know, I just went through this really intense phase of life and had baby after baby, and now I've kind of had a little bit of a chance, like a breather from it, and now I'm going right back into it. And I don't know, we did a whole episode about whether you want to have another baby or not, and I wish I could give like a really good piece of advice right now, but I just think it's one of those things, like either your family is not complete without this other baby, or it could be. And that's like a big determining factor.
It is. And there's a reason why that's one of our most popular episodes ever. I think it's episode 7. I think what I would say to Allison is there's a bunch of like your own psychology at work here. Like when you think about starting over, you're actually remembering yourself as a new mom and how everything was the first time around. And I think it might be helpful to remind yourself that you don't have to go back to that place. Like, you do go back to sleepless nights and tiny diapers and all of that. But you're not actually going back in time, and you're not actually the same mom the second time around. So I think, number one, I think that might be helpful to remember that you have come so far. And it does, I don't know if I'm just interpreting, but it does sound like they do really want the second baby. It's more just mentally getting there. Yeah. Like, okay, here we go. And I can relate to that for sure. I thought I wanted a bigger gap between my second and having a third baby. I thought we'd wait even a few years. And actually what motivated me to just space them just a couple of years apart was actually like just wanting to get it over with for the same reason. So, totally. I mean, like, just like, okay, I know it's going to be hard. Let's just do it. So I totally relate. I also think there can be some guilt about feeling that way, or shame about that ambivalence. And I think we should remove that right away, because it's okay to feel ambivalent about not being sure what you want out of growing your family. Like, that you are not a bad person, or you do not need to feel guilty for not wanting to be up all night again. Like, and I think that should be said, because I think as soon as we have those thoughts as moms, we immediately judge those thoughts and be like, well, I'm a terrible person because I always wanted two kids and I can't, you know, and it's stressing me out. So at least give yourself permission to have those hesitations and not also beat yourself up for them. Does that make sense?
I wanted to mention the thing you said about it's not literally going back, and you're not going to be that person you were again. And what's really interesting is it got harder and harder for me with every kid I added. Was harder physically than the kid before. So 2 was harder than 1, 3 was harder than 2, blah, blah, blah. But I felt better mm-hmm. with every kid. So even as the workload, I would say Clara was the easiest for lots and lots and lots of reasons, which I don't really need to go into. Maybe part of it was just because I'd forgotten by that point, like at how hard the first one was or whatever. Yeah. I really had no like almost frame of reference because I just completely had mom amnesia, which also happens. But somehow, even as like Owen was my fourth, he was the hardest baby I had. Bar none. Hands mm-hmm. down, hardest. He screamed all the time. He was huge, so he ate constantly. He was like a 10-pound baby, and he just nursed constantly.
Oh, my gosh.
My kids were little. The other ones were still too young
yeah.
to leave.
Yeah.
So I had to take them all everywhere I went.
Oh, my.
And we were living, I don't remember now like what the living situation was. I just remember being like super stressed. Oh, I started my freelance writing career, so like I was busy all the time.
Yeah.
And even though that all those things were true, I still felt better about myself as a mom and really enjoy the memories of Owen as a baby more than I did any of the like 3, 2, or 1. Like yeah. it just, you change, you get more confident, you learn how to, you get to like this more pride in yourself. Like, mm-hmm. look at me, like, look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And that maybe isn't everyone's experience, but for me, that was part of what made it possible to keep having more.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh, I know it's going to be super hard, but
yeah,
okay.
I would say that was actually pretty similar with Violet. She was the hardest pregnancy and hardest baby. But I was in my groove. I had two side jobs. I was like, my other yep. kids were 4 and 2. I was like kicking butt in a way, but it was super, super hard. So I do think knowing that you'll be stronger, you'll be different than the first time around yeah. Could be really helpful. Also, I mean, this is not really my advice. I always hear this said when talking about adding to your family, but it is really good advice. And that is to picture your family like 10 years from now, you know,
yes.
and think about
how many people do you want around that table?
Exactly. And, like, yeah. And I'm not always good at that. I'm like a really good short-term planner, and I sort of forget the 5 and 10 year plan sometimes. But it's a great exercise to just think about if you know you want to do it and you just need the sort of psychological push to get over that hump. Think about that, you know, whatever. It's a 10 and a 5-year-old who you get to go do fun things with as a family and travel with, or it's the sibling relationship that you're hoping they'll have, or whatever it is. Sort of fantasize about what this looks like after the baby stage, because as we all know, it does pass and it is hard and it yeah. will be hard probably, but you don't know if it is going to be an easy baby or a hard baby.
You
can't predict that. So I do think that future casting a little farther ahead might maybe get you more excited, especially if you don't love. I mean, some people truly don't love the baby phase, and that's OK. That's another thing not to feel
well,
guilty about.
And the thing with a new baby is no matter what, there's going to be like you're starting back at the beginning. So no yeah. matter whichever phase it is you don't love, you're going to set that's going to happen to you.
So, for us, it's 1-year-olds, yeah. right?
Both and honestly, I loved newborns and I loved little babies, like probably up to about 10 months is like my yeah. favorite, that whole first year. But I at some point just kind of realized I couldn't just keep having more kids just to get that first 10 months yeah. because then they become 11 months old.
Yeah.
And that's when it
and then
sucks.
They become 15 months old, and we've
right.
well documented how we
yes.
feel about 1-year-olds.
Exactly.
So Allison, I hope this was a little bit helpful, and you're definitely not alone. I mean, I hear this from moms a lot, even if they're sure they want to add that next baby, just
right.
the like, oh, here we go. Here we go. Luckily, you have 9 months to prepare at least.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk about FabFitFun. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full-size awesomeness, full-size beauty, fitness.
I love that full-size awesomeness. They should steal that slogan from us.
Yeah. Hashtag full-size awesomeness. No, full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. So we got to try out a FabFitFun box and had so much fun. Some of the things I loved in there, Megan, there was a lip color that I would not have gone out and bought myself. I really think moms, we kind of stop trying to stay up on the latest trends at some yeah. point. And that's why just a quarterly, it's just 4 times a year. It's like someone, it's like a cool friend hand picking great products
yes.
for you. And all you have to do is show up. And,
yes.
and the cost savings, it's like $200 worth of stuff for basically $50. We're going to save you another $10. But
that was the thing yeah. that killed me. Like I opened it and was looking at this thinking this is $50 and it is like hundreds of dollars of
yes.
products in there. Everything I pulled out, I felt like it's worth at least that. So
yes,
it was kind of crazy.
And it's not yeah. all beauty. That's another thing, because neither you and I are super high maintenance when it comes to beauty products, but it's not all beauty products. So it's not like
no.
we have 4 different types of hair serum or anything like
right.
that. There's a couple things like that, but we also got this amazing wrap, like scarf wrap
yes.
thing. That's like basically
so
a blanket we'll live in all winter.
Yeah.
A cute little jewelry holder, like hang your dangly earrings on this little jewelry holder. The lip color I talked about.
There's a cool little like heating and cooling.
Oh yeah.
Like gel thing.
And a little gym bag. Yeah.
Gym bag. Yeah. All kinds of neat stuff.
So it's not just, if you're not super into, you know, hair products and skin products and all that, it's such a wide variety of, like they said, beauty, fashion, fitness, and lifestyle. So if you sign up to become a member, you can save $10 off your first box, which would make it $39.99 when you use the code TheMomHour at FabFitFun.com. And we think you should do it because if you are like us and have stopped. And how pretty is the box when it arrives?
Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I want to keep it and use it for something. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but it's too pretty to throw in the recycling bin. So I'm keeping the box.
I think, I totally agree. So again, it's coupon code is TheMomHour. That'll save you $10 and it's at fabfitfun.com. And yeah, we're just big fans. So that was a really fun one to try out. Okay. We've got another question. Mm-hmm. All right. This question is from Renee. And I have to say first, Renee called back and left a second message that was so sweet. And it was just basically how much she loves the show. And I just want to say, Renee, that meant so much to us. We won't play that because it's sort of self-congratulatory.
but we don't like self-congratulatory things.
I mean, we do. But yeah. Maybe our listeners would just rather hear her question. But she called back just to leave another message just to say nice things. And it was so nice. Okay, here's Renee's question.
Hi there. My name's Renee, and I'm a mom of four little kids with ages ranging from 14 months to 6 years old. My question for you is if you've ever dealt with helping kids break habits. I have one little girl who is 5 years old who seems to always be putting things in her mouth. She is always chewing on the baby's toys, which doesn't really bother me so much because I know she can't choke on them. But she's recently started doing things like putting her hair in her mouth, like from her ponytail. I've tried tying it up so many different ways and doing so many different things, but nothing is seeming to help. And she's also putting things from around the house in her mouth. And there's no way that I can possibly pack up everything around our house, even when it comes to things like pencil erasers. I just can't seem to get her to stop putting things in her mouth. And I'm worried that she's going to choke and swallow things. And actually, just yesterday, she put a peppermint in her mouth that she's not supposed to grab from my purse. And she did swallow it in the van and nothing bad happened, except that I think it hurt for a while going down. I'd like to say it served as a little bit of a lesson, but I don't think so. She's pretty hard-headed. And anyways, I'm just wondering if you can weigh in with anything. I thought maybe it'd be a little topic. And yeah, if you have any suggestions, that would be awesome. Thanks so much.
Okay, Renee, thanks for sending in this question. This is a different one than we've taken, different from a lot of the ones we get. The first thing I want to say is that we're not experts. We always have to give that disclaimer. And I think I have kids who are super mouthy and are otherwise well-adjusted developmentally on track.
When you say mouthy, it makes me think of something totally different.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Mouthy means something else. Like oral fixation. And so I'm going to tell you how normal I think this is. But before I tell you how normal I think it is, I will say that I know kids with some sensory issues or some other just struggles that are going on as they grow and develop can also be super chewy. And so I would just say that, like, if you feel like this is part of something bigger and something else, not that that's any big deal or anything to worry about or feel bad about, you might want to ask someone. That's all I'll say. And I don't mean that in an alarmist way. I just don't want to get into our answer and not say that because I do. Yeah. I have a couple of friends with kids with sensory issues that are well-managed sensory issues. And I know that chewing on stuff can be one way that manifests. But having said that, I have kids who don't have sensory issues who chew their clothes, bite their nails, chew their hair, and it's so gross and so annoying. So I would just want to also empathize with you. And I am someone who can really get annoyed by silly things like this. And once you notice it as a mom, it's so hard to unnotice it.
Right.
Like we've talked before on the show about kids and like noises, just like unnecessary noises that they make, either tapping or Allegra does clicking with her mouth. I can say that and she could even listen to this. She knows that it drives me nuts. So yeah, it's like two different things we're talking about, like bad habits and sort of learning to maybe ignore to an extent or manage your own frustration as a mom, and then also helping kids break habits that truly are not good for their health or a problem. So maybe, I don't know, Megan, do you want to dive in on like one or the other of those? Because I feel like it's kind of two different things.
Well, one thing I will say, excuse me, I had super like oral fixations when I was a kid. I chewed my clothes. I chewed my hair. I did all the gross things that I can't stand when my kids do.
Right.
Owen
I did too.
Used to bite his own toenails. I don't know if he does that anymore. I didn't realize it until I realized I had not clipped his toenails in forever. And he's like, oh, so I just chew them off, which was really, really gross. But anyway, the more people called attention to it, the worse it got for me. So that's really tricky. Like, I think I truly didn't outgrow it until I was old enough to realize other people thought it was weird and I cared. So for me, it was like 11 or 12. I mean, I remember being 11 and still wanting really badly to like chew the straps of my first purse I got, like just wanted to real bad. So I think if it's something like that, if it's like almost like a tick or like a nervous habit, trying to get your kid to stop might actually backfire. And I think for me, maybe some substitutions would have been good, like something that I could chew on that wasn't disgusting.
Yeah, they do have stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, gum. I hadn't thought about gum, and that might be a can of worms for a 5-year-old, but they even make like kind of like the teething necklaces that you see moms wear with teething babies. They make stuff that's safe to chew on. So I think substitution's a great idea, especially if it just is something that's just really hard to break.
So I don't know. I think that's one, I guess, one point I would make. And you said what the other, you thought there were two questions here to
answer,
Sarah?
I think one is helping kids break bad habits or setting boundaries about things that you really do. So one is kind of ignoring and not drawing attention to it and kind of letting it go as a mom. And the other side is actually helping kids maybe break a habit that really does need to stop. In this case, I think we're kind of talking a little bit about both. But I think, like you said, substitution or having something that's okay to chew would be great, especially for a 5-year-old, because it doesn't sound like you're probably going to break her of this habit altogether. There's something going on. And like we've said, I think it's super normal. Like there was a whole year where Allegra couldn't wear long sleeve shirts because she'd just eat them all. They were just gone. Yeah. Like she just chew on the end of her long sleeve. Yep. Luckily we live in Southern California.
Yeah.
And so I think it's super normal. And I remember when I was 8, I put one of those, you know, those little pop-up things where you turn, they're a little circle. When you turn them inside out and set them on the table, they pop up really high. They get them in like goodie bags and stuff.
Yep.
So there was a mini one of those. And I was chewing on that when I was 8 and I swallowed it. I mean, 8, I was way old enough not to put small toys in my mouth. And I swallowed it and it scared me. So Renee, maybe the story about your daughter being a little bit afraid when she swallowed the peppermint, maybe that is, because that's what I remember thinking is like, oh, that was a little scary. Like I did not mean to swallow a pop-up thing.
And it may take several experiences like that, and it may take her being old enough to also, you know, she may be scared of it, but she might not have the impulsive or the impulse control needed to stop just because she knows it's a bad idea.
So I think when we can empathize with kids that everybody has habits that they're working on, and why, instead of just stop doing that, take it out of your mouth, which I get, that's like how we, it's just how we are, taking a step back a little bit. And number one, making sure the child understands why something's not safe or not healthy, or why are we trying to break this habit? You're not just nagging, but there's safety reasons and, you know, reasons why it's not appropriate to put everything in our mouth. So making sure she understands that, making sure there's a substitution, I think is a really good idea. And then drawing some boundaries about what's not okay to put in your mouth. Like it is not okay. And you can decide what those are, but maybe as you think through this, maybe you get a little more lenient about that, knowing that you're probably not going to break the habit altogether. So you're going to let her put some things in her mouth that are safe. You're going to ignore some of it, and then set some boundaries about the things that are truly not safe and not appropriate to put in your mouth, and see if you
can kind of
like come up with that cocktail, and then just remind yourself that it's normal. And it's like a lot of kids do that. I mean, a lot, chewing on clothes,
a lot of
hair.
Adults do it.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that, you know, if by offering alternatives, the more you can do that, And focusing on the safety aspect and like what's appropriate to chew and what's not, rather than why do you always have everything in your mouth?
Right.
Is more helpful.
I wonder. Yeah. I'm now I don't know, because I'm not an expert. I wonder, like, it's got to be just kind of an age. I mean, we're all remembering doing it and having our kids do it. I do feel like Allegra, who's the one who's done this the most, is kind of outgrowing it at nine and a half. Although Violet Violet bites her nails and chews her hair, so I shouldn't say. So I've got another one coming up the pike. So, I feel you. I think sometimes we also fixate. I think that's the other thing, is once you notice something annoying your kid is doing,
you can't stop
noticing. And that's, I go back to my friend Catherine who wrote that book, Ignore It. Like so much of making our own parenting experience more enjoyable is selectively ignoring the stuff that drives us nuts and that is more about our reaction than the kid's well-being. So absolutely, that's hard. I don't know what else to say. That's hard.
It's really hard, but it's worth it, and it makes your whole life better. So,
yeah, totally. Yeah. Also, I thought Renee should meet our other listener from last week, who's about to have four kids under whatever age, because that's another listener who has four really closely spaced and hands full of four little kids. So hats off to you, Renee.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So before we wrap up, a couple things. I want to let our listeners know that Life Listened has another new podcast coming out. So when you are listening to this, there should be a teaser, a little preview live in your podcast feed for a new show called Crunchy Cocktail Hour. So you would go search up, as the kids say, search up Crunchy Cocktail Hour, and you'll see a little preview of what their show is going to be about. And then it comes out October 20th. So coming up really soon. And that's going to be all about green living, healthy living. And it's going to be a great show.
I'm really so excited about our network and how it's growing, and we've got all these great new shows, and I feel like you can just jump from our show right to all the other shows in the network, and you never have to even leave,
go anywhere else. You just stay.
You absolutely should, because we all know podcasts are amazing, and there's a lot of great ones out there. Yeah. But I just feel like we're offering now so much content.
Yeah,
you could really just bop from Life Listen show to Life Listen show. It's fun.
It's super exciting, and this show in particular, what I love about what they're doing with clean living, clean eating, organic, green living, all of that, is that one of them is a full blown crunchy committed, and the other, so Larissa's super crunchy, Allison is kind of more skeptical and sort of plays the straight man in that relationship. So it's not necessarily a show for people who are committed to being everything organic, green living all the way. Right. It's more for those who kind of want to do a little better, need someone to cut through all the hype. Larissa's amazing at knowing the research and knowing the products that are out there. And then Allison sort of is I'm dabbling.
Whatever, I'll try it.
Yeah. So it's going to be a great show. And again, you can go to crunchycocktailhour.com. That's their website. Or just search it in wherever you get your podcasts. And as of now, there will be a short little teaser for you to listen to, but then you can subscribe, and then you'll get notified when the first official episode goes up. So
nice.
Yeah. Okay, so stay with us. I've got a little segment with Katie coming up. And otherwise, head to themomhour.com. This was episode 123. And there you'll find all the info about our sponsors and anything we talked about today that we want to link to. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Sarah here, and I am here with Katie Addis. Hey Katie.
Hey Sarah.
So Katie joins us once a month for a fun little segment about life in the trenches as a mom of really little ones, which Megan and I don't have anymore. So Katie always has a struggle, a discovery, and a success, and we just chat about what's going on in her life. So what have you got?
So I'm starting with a struggle, and this struggle has been since I first found out I was pregnant, and that was, what was I going to do professionally? Was I going to be a part-time working mom? Was I going to be a full-time working mom, stay-at-home mom? What was that going to look like in my life? And I can't say that I've come to a right answer, but I've come to a resolution for now.
For now. Tell everybody what you did before pre-kids.
Yes. So pre-kids, I was a high school English teacher, and Annalie was born in December of 2014. So I took the rest of that academic year off, which was considered a leave because it extended beyond the time allowed. So in my particular school district, I was allowed up to one year leaves each time.
Okay.
In a 4-year period.
Okay.
So I took that one leave, that was one check. And then the next year I went back at a very part-time capacity. Things fell into place in a very fortuitous way that let me only work what was considered a 20% contract. Mm-hmm. So I went in essentially to leadership team mm-hmm. meetings twice a week. Mm-hmm. And it was like the perfect arrangement ever.
For your first baby. Like have some connection to your pre-kids job, but don't have to worry about 40 hours of milk pumping.
Exactly.
We talked about
right. Staying relevant, maintaining those professional relationships, staying current, all of those things. And then I found out I was pregnant. And so once again, I was plagued with this question. And so I had him in September of 2016. And that then I took a second full year, mm-hmm. full academic year leave. And so I'm all out of leaves. And I was just slapped in the face with the decision and I needed to make it. And I decided that for now, what is best for our lives and what I want for quality of life for me and my family, I resigned from teaching, which was really, it's still hard.
Yeah, it's
and
really hard.
I still don't know if that's the best decision. But if I have any words of advice to moms out there, it would be to find out the whole story of what implications there are when you do resign. Mm-hmm. Like, are there part-time options that have been unexplored?
Right.
What are the ramifications of exiting? If you're a teacher specifically, does that mean tenure goes away? Mm-hmm. I found out, actually, it was very reassuring for me that if I re-enter the same district within 39 months.
Okay, so what, like,
really weird time frame.
Weird...
It's not three academic years. It's not three calendar years.
Okay.
I don't know where they got... This is ed code.
Okay.
But I will not lose my... They will bridge tenure.
Okay.
So basically, I'm just 39 months from now
and
going to be...
A new decision to make.
New crossroads. Yeah. So anyway...
Yeah, that's really, I would love to hear, we have a lot of teacher mom listeners, those who are in the classroom and those who have left the classroom. I'd love to hear from people on how they handled this and also any teachers who've gone back in. I know, I mean, I when I was connected to a lot of stay-at-home moms in my early mom days, several were teachers who had decided to stay home, especially teacher salaries, as we know, are, it's not like you can pay for full-time childcare and then you're netting out a whole bunch more, like, you know, so it makes that decision for some teachers to be, you know, and then to go back later. And I think a lot do. So I love, if there's anybody out there who has gone back into the classroom after staying home with little ones, I think that would be interesting to hear from, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And as an addition to that, I would love to know if you shared the same misconception as I did, slight misconception. So I just believed that teaching was the best field to get into because I thought it was the profession that was most conducive to motherhood because your calendars.
It isn't, though.
It like, is not.
So a long time ago, do you remember I did a working mom episode? I interviewed three working moms and one of them is Elizabeth Chapman who blogs at Teaching Salmon Scout.
Okay.
And she's a great supporter of the podcast. She's an awesome blogger. But she and I talked about that when I interviewed her. She's a high school English teacher, I think.
Right. I follow her blog
and,
now.
And she was saying the same thing that like summers off and vacations off are great, but there is very little flexibility like day of if you have a sick kid or something come up. Like you're not really available, can't have your phone out with you. Like it's actually totally not flexible if you think about it. But I agree. It is, it's like we have this perception that it's a family friendly. And don't get me wrong, I think there are probably some perks that make it family friendly. Summer's off is obviously a big one.
Right.
But very little flexibility when you're in the classroom and your kid is wherever they're going to be.
Absolutely.
I mean, you need to have your childcare like second and third options lined up.
Yeah. And then the take home workload is a whole other topic and conversation that we don't have to get into.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a huge factor that I know into my decision.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Well, congrats, I guess. I'm sorry.
I know. Well, we'll just go right into my discovery. So it is a grocery store discovery.
Oh.
And a few months back, I was on a road trip and I happened to be in the state of Nevada.
Okay.
I'm not sure where else this grocery store is. Listeners, you can bank in on this too. But I discovered a Winco.
Okay. I always hear about Winco. I think aren't they Southern?
I don't know. I mean, this was Nevada. So
yeah. I feel like Nevada, like. It's like a cousin.
It's an outlier.
Texas.
Oh, a cousin of the South.
Okay. No. Okay. I have heard of Winco. I don't think I've been in one.
Okay. Well, so I just feel like it is, let me characterize Winco for you. I feel like it's a Smart and Final meets like a big box conventional grocery store. So kind of it has that, but also like with the touch of Whole Foods or a wholesome choice in that, not necessarily in the organic natural ingredients, but in the serve yourself
bulk.
That was one
of the
most
amazing
features.
I wonder if it's also kind of like Aldi, because Megan's a huge Aldi person and Aldi has recently come to Southern California. I have not checked one out.
I don't even know where one is. Close to us.
Yeah, probably they're not close enough.
Yeah, they're not close enough.
But they are here in Orange County now. So, okay, Winco.
Okay, yeah, Winco. So cheap. Okay, so I just have this thing for grocery stores. I don't know what it is. Like if I am in a different, in a different country too, but in a different state, like I will specifically like to scope out grocery stores. And I just feel like it represents so much
that
of the culture in that area. I know when I studied abroad in London, when I was in college, Sainsbury, any UK listeners?
Yeah, or Tesco.
I didn't know Tesco. Okay.
Yeah. Tesco's like big box over there.
Oh, okay. So. Well, next time I'm in London, which I'm sure is going to be soon.
Yeah, real soon.
I'll check it out. But so I went in there, big bulk. I went in to get chocolate-covered gummy bears. Ooh. And candy, chocolate, it's expensive.
Yeah.
And Winco, I'm telling you, it was the cheapest.
Oh, wow.
I got like half a bag and of just those clear plastic standard size bags. And it was maybe $2.
Oh, wow.
For half a bag.
Yeah.
It was incredible. I wish I could go back right now. And
you want to go to Winco?
I want to go to Winco.
But then you'd have to be in Nevada in the summer. I'm sorry, Nevada. I know we have Nevada listeners. I have PTSD from living in Arizona in the summer. And it's hot here right now. So
it was unbearable. The heat is hard.
No offense, Nevada.
We love Winco.
Yeah, we do love Winco. Okay, what's next?
And then a success other than my chocolate-covered gummy bears is Kyle and I, my husband, we are coming up on our 7-year wedding anniversary.
Nice.
And we are going to have a night away from both kids.
Yay.
And the only downside is that our pump will be accompanying
us.
Maybe I can ask Megan how I can program my pump to say, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
One night. Now, in our breastfeeding episode, we learned that you can really, especially if your baby's a year, you can go away for a night and not pump. I never did it.
I know.
But you can.
I mean, longer stretches I'm okay with, but a full 24-hour cycle, gotta have the pump. Right.
I always, 1 year was always about, like a year to 15 months was always about when I was felt okay about leaving for a night.
Yes.
And even if I was still breastfeeding, just bring the pump. And, you know, only needing to pump a couple of times.
Right, right.
Not being super uncomfortable.
Yeah,
so.
But this will be the first time that we will ever be leaving Luke. We've left Anna Lee before, but it's just been a long time for Kyle and me to have time to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think the more kids you add, the more necessary time away is.
But also the harder.
The less time you actually have to get away. So it's tough managing it all, having time for your relationship having time for yourself.
And good for you guys for taking that time away. That's exciting. Where are you going?
We're going to San Diego.
Oh, nice.
So the Gaslamp Quarter.
Oh, nice.
I'm kind of a foodie, so I could literally spend a vacation just eating, just planning out, okay, I'm going to have breakfast here, a snack there.
Yeah.
I mean, fun. I guess you guys figured that out based on my Winco love.
You're a foodie, but you're not super discriminate. You just like food. Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up this segment. If there's anything we talked about, like where to find Winco's near you, I will throw them in the show notes for this episode. And Katie will be back with us in a few weeks.
Sounds good.
All right,
see you all later.
Bye.